Welcome to Public Safety Talk Radio, the podcast for all of our heroes in public safety, including law enforcement professionals, firefighters, EMTs, corrections officers, healthcare workers, and more. The show is produced by the POC Way and is founded upon its Soundness Initiative. This episode is sponsored by AmTrust Warranty and Specialty Risk, a provider of line-of-duty death loan protection through many of our POC Way institutions. Welcome to part two of taking care of our injured first responders.
There was a lot of things that we could do individually. I'm just about of the opinion myself that, though I think legislation will come along, but that we need something to fill the gap now so that we're not losing our officers that are injured to suicide.
Sure.
And that we're not losing their families, because there's research out there that says if you have a traumatic brain injury, that it increases suicidal ideation, and not just TBI. This is for post-traumatic stress, catastrophic injury, whatever. But specifically, the research that I read just recently was on traumatic brain injury, and it showed that traumatic brain injury increases suicidal ideation among our first responders. Now, not only that, what was really eye-opening to me, and I do know this, but that it also increases suicidal ideation among caregivers that are providing their care and within their family units. I do know a law enforcement officer that was injured who lost a son to suicide after injury. So here we have, and we do know the present moment, we have a first responder suicide healthcare crisis. Well, I truly believe that if we could put some clinical markers into place that says at least everybody needs help, but I'm speaking about traumatic brain injury today. Uh-huh. But if we could, once we know that somebody has a concussion, traumatic brain injury, that we need to target them right away and their families with interventions and supports if we really want to do something about suicide.
Yeah.
The other thing that we don't know in this country is what is the prevalence of concussion, TBI concussion, among our first responders. Mm-hmm. And we don't know, because we don't have the data. We're not collecting the data. Now, there was some legislation, a law that passed last year in, I believe it was August, that is mandating that the CDC provide research and studies on the prevalence of concussion, which in our research, we kind of look at TBI and concussion as the same, among first responders, which is, I think, a great way to start. And then if we can take that research and find out, take a look at also our suicide data and find out how many of those that actually died in the line of duty by suicide, I'm going to put it that way.
Uh-huh.
If they had a brain injury prior to, to get some prevalence data on that, you know, what did we miss? What supports and interventions could we have provided? And what can we do today? Now, very often, I just want to say this out loud. I'm going to say this because I heard this in my mind a couple of years ago, and I believe it. We cannot continue to yell at drowning people to save themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We want drowning people to pick up the phone and call somebody. We want drowning people to save themselves. And I believe that is that all of the supports we have out there for suicide prevention are awesome things. But you and I both know everybody's not going to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
They're not going to. We need to be more, we need to come up with some new stuff. We need to think outside of the box.
Yeah, to that point, I'm almost afraid to ask you another question because you might throw out multi-syllable words again, like self-efficacy that I got to look up. But it's one thing that that I remember talking about, you know, friend of the show and friend of the POCUA, who you know, Vicki Newman from How to Love Our Cops, is that we love her too, and she's also doing some amazing work like you are, is that that family unit, which sounds cold, is that first line of defense to see, you know, when things are happening, and to to, I'll use a big word, circumvent, you know, issues before they really escalate to something that you can't turn around. Yeah, I know this might be a little bit difficult, but I think it will help some of our listeners that may be going through something similar. You know, this experience, you know, what has it done for your family? What can other families take from this? And, you know, also, you know, I understand that, you know, that you've come a long way in 13 years. As unfortunate as this is, it sounds as though, you know, we're at least in a little bit better place today than we were 13 years ago. Can you speak from, you know, a family standpoint of what people should know out there?
Well, I tell you, it's very difficult on the kids.
Yeah.
We also need supports and interventions for our kids. What I'd like to tell any family that's going through this is just hang on and don't give up. And I have to say that God has really carried me through. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have Jesus. I come from the South and I love the Lord and he carries me.
Me
every
too.
Day. I love Jesus. I had a good friend from, we were friends in seventh grade, and when we weren't getting any support, she sent me a card. I'll never forget it. My friend Carla, she said, even if workers' compensation doesn't take care of you, God will. Mm-hmm. And I sat at the table and cried over that card. I think for families, and I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, I'm still struggling. I had a really, really rough day. I had a rough night. I didn't sleep good last night for some other things that's happened recently. But I can tell you this, what we can do is we can continue to take care of the person we love. We can continue to advocate for their care, and we can continue to ask for help. As far as what we need is relationships within the community, hope thwarts, it actually fights, give you a different one, fights suicidal ideation. That's a research, you know, shown in research that if we can give these families a little bit of hope, that actually combats suicidal ideation. We also know how important the hope is. You know, the Bible tells us how important hope is, but we know individually how important hope is. And even one small thing can get one of these families through another day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how small it is. Calling them on the phone, saying, I'm thinking about you. Taking something by there. Don't ask them if they need anything.
Yeah.
Just go to the store, get a pound cake, drop it off.
For the love of God, you know, make it a don't, none of that Sara Lee crap, you know, get, go to, you know, don't just go to the bakery section of the store, go to your favorite, you know, bakery or something, you know, none of this, you know, cold freezer crap. Okay. If you're really going to hand something out, right.
Personally, I'd like to have a strawberry pound cake for my Aunt Ruth Ann, who shows up with them at my house a lot. Okay, but seriously, I mean, we have to laugh about some of this.
Yeah.
Seriously, what we can do is help each other. And I mean, like I said, it's going to take time for the government to respond. We are losing people every day, and we can't wait for everybody else to respond. We individually have to respond every single day for any which way we can. To help everybody, each other, we're all equally in this together, all humans. I think if we would, you know, I've noticed this, if we know somebody personally, if they're inside our family, then we do more.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't know about somebody, it's very easy for us to say, I don't know them, they'll be fine. But mm-hmm. I would like for us to all to consider that we're on the planet together and we're all in the same boat, and that I've tried to in my life, even when I used to work, oh my goodness. If somebody called and asked for help where I used to work, I'd transfer them right into the top specialist there.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You know, that's who they need to talk to. I had one of them come out one time and say, Kay, why did you transfer that family in? And I said, I'm sorry, their baby is dying and they needed you.
Yeah.
And so what if we treated every single human being as our brother and sister that we love and care for, and we actually did something, you know, human,
Are you looking to find new podcasts, especially podcasts that are hosted by first responders or serious true crime podcasts? Then I have the podcast for you. It's the First and True podcast, brought to you by me, Ken Bader, former true crime category director for Podcast Magazine and founder of the Police Officers Credit Union Association. Each week, a new true crime or first responder podcast is highlighted through an interview with the hosts. Tune in to get an in-depth look into your favorite podcasters or discover new shows that you really need to know about. Where can you find First and True? Well, you can find it on all of your favorite podcast platforms, but easily find it at the Bader Training and Consulting website. Go to btcinc.net/first-and-true, and you will see all of the new episodes of the new First and True podcast.
We're trying to get this research conducted, but the whole point about the research is because there is no research, we have nothing foundational to move the agenda along. So yeah. We can't say what. There's tons of research on injured veterans with traumatic brain injury and qualitative studies, which is like lived experiences of their caregivers and the veterans and stuff. We don't have any of that on our law enforcement officers. So we need to put that in place. And that's some of the, I have like a whole list of abstracts I'm working on that I'm going to want to throw through IRB, because there's so much research that needs to be done, because we need to lay the foundation in this country for our injured. And once we can lay the foundation, then we can go to legislation and say, hey, we have this research that says our caregivers of injured law enforcement officers need X, Y, Z. Our survivors, our catastrophically injured, the ones who have survived brain injury, the ones who are serving us and protecting us here at home, they have X, Y, and Z needs. They have A to Z needs. And we need to provide A, B, all the way to Z needs to make sure that they can have a quality life. Now, I have a friend. I just want to share this too, because I don't just always share my story. I also share other people's stories. Mm-hmm. Her husband was injured 3 months after my husband in a different state, and very much similar, required 24/7 care. And her experience with workers' compensation was that they stopped paying for any of her husband's care. And for several years, she tried to hang on, and to the point where she couldn't hang on. So now he's in a facility. So not only has this wife lost her husband, this law enforcement officer that protected us here in the United States, right here at home, lost his ability to even be in his own home. Now they're paying for it in a facility, and we know that's probably about 20,000 times more expensive than if they had just provided some supports within the community. So I think that we just need to have some. And as long as workers' compensation has immunity, that no matter what they do, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, they're not held accountable to what they're doing, and they're just trying to save a dollar. And I was told specifically that my husband was nothing but a drain to the state's economy, and he's now nothing but a folder. And that's not what he is. He's a human being that lived, and that he would be out there today protecting you. And if you called him, and if you needed the shirt on his back, he would give it to you today.
Yeah.
And I think we can do better. I just think that I have to believe that not everybody in the country knows what's actually going on, and that we have the power collectively. As you said, the football player, that they donated millions of dollars. We have that same power to collectively care for our injured law enforcement officers and first responders just as well. But like you said, many of the times on the news for them, it's like they will mention the ones that have been killed in the line of duty, which they should.
Mm-hmm.
But then they'll make this point was this other person is going to live. Okay, my husband lived, but he's living with catastrophic injury. Just because they live does not mean that their entire lives have not changed and that they're going to have to rebuild a new life from the very, very beginning.
In a drastic way sometimes too.
Yeah. And we don't want them to be alone. We don't want them to have to be separated from their family just to have care provided from them when they could have provided the care in the community. It's just simply they approved it and then they wouldn't pay for it. And then the people that were actually providing the care could not give the services for free. Mm-hmm. And then So even if they approve care, many times they don't pay for it. So they still can't get the care. But fortunately, he is, I think she said that he had been moved to now 2 hours away from home versus she was way away from home. And now he's closer, about 2 hours away from home, where she can at least visit him more often. But my point is, he shouldn't have to live that way.
Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate and slightly surprising. And yeah, I had this discussion with another of our guests a few episodes ago, Chief Dave from Fire Edge, who works with a number of firefighters. And we talked on a somewhat different subject of, hiring for character and first responders and so forth. And that, sometimes, you have to, much like you're doing or trying to do with the research, you got to come with the numbers. You got to come with the black and white, because that's, the only thing that, finance people and government people, can actually understand sometimes. And I likened it to, my wife is in healthcare, and we talk about how appreciative that we are that a lot of health insurers have gotten the bright idea that, hey, you know what? I would rather pay for preventative care up front and yell on the mountain that it's available and pay for it than pay for what may be 10, 20, 50 times more years down the line. Because they get the dollars and cents that this will be a lot cheaper for us and better for the families too. I don't think that they necessarily think about the families first, unfortunately, but they wisely think about the dollars. And, to your point, I think that is not only on the large level how unfortunate and sad it is, but it's also really ignorant in that, all right, why don't we provide the care now when the state or the city or whomever has to pay X rather than later when we have to pay Y? And that, that doesn't make sense to me. So hopefully we're going there. As we begin to wrap up a little bit I love what you said about hope. I think that it's key. But as I also like to say to my business clients, hope is not a strategy. So, for those folks out there, especially those that, need the support, need the help, are there a couple of things that they could do? Are there people that they could call? Are there still some groups out there where they can get some support in? Because I find with some of those groups, when you get folks that, have a similar experience, even if it's unfortunate, not only will they provide emotional support, but they'll share the resources and say, hey, have you seen what the Wounded Blue has done? Hey, have you heard about Fund the First? Have you heard about this organization that could provide some help, that those resources begin to be exchanged? What can folks do out there, or where can they go for a little bit of help?
Well, I'll talk about adaptive sports, because I truly believe every single person that's injured could participate in some adaptive sports. You don't have to be able to even be able to move very much at all to be in adaptive sports. I have
sounds like me after a big meal, but that's a whole other story.
Go ahead. That's right. I have no excuse. I have seen a child with no arms and legs swim. So I would suggest, I'm going to throw out an adaptive sport, Challenged Athletes Foundation. They have an Operation Rebound part that includes veterans and first responders. So Challenged Athletes Foundation is a fabulous organization. I did start a nonprofit called Operation Homeland Honor that includes veterans, law enforcement officers, first responders. And we are a no salary nonprofit, volunteer. Nobody in this organization gets any money, because I wanted to make sure that the money actually gets back down to the family and to the injured party. So many times there's a lot of great nonprofits out there, but we also know there's nonprofits out there that pay their salary. They get pretty good salaries, which I know they have to get paid to do stuff, but come on now. Eventually all this money that's being put into these nonprofits needs to get down to the people who need it. So I set my nonprofit up. I volunteer. I volunteer everything. Okay. So I volunteer, and this year, just to let you know, I have set up 3 adaptive golf tournaments.
Nice.
And 2 are in North Carolina, 1 are in Virginia. Adaptive golf is really finally getting big in this country. When my husband was injured, nobody wanted a disabled player to play golf. I mean, they might slow the game up. But guess what? These adaptive golfers now, my husband has a world ranking, and I couldn't tell you what it is right now, but nevertheless, he has one. He has one. So whenever I first went to an adaptive event, I signed him up for every single event, because how do you know what you like if you don't try it?
Yeah.
But this year, if anybody out there, we have any listeners out there that golf, they have, you know, an injured party, adaptive golfer that golfs, please bring them to our tournaments. We only charge registration fees. Once I get sponsors, I mean, I am the funding agent. So once we get, I am the funder, but I've kept it down minimum to just what the golf courses are charging. If you have a golf course in this country and you want to host us for free, I will bring us out there and we can have some free golf for our adaptive golfers. And also during these tournaments, I will be honoring our veterans, our law enforcement officers and first responders, but also I'm also honoring their caregivers and families, because I know you don't get any, let's say, as much recognition as you deserve. So thank you to the caregivers, and I will be honoring them. My nonprofit is OperationHomelandHonor.org. If you feel free to donate, I do have a veteran that has already said, I want to play, but I don't have any money. So, you know what? I'm believing before these tournaments happen, somebody will, you know, come up. As I said, I'm funding these out of, you know, myself. So anyway, I'm not making anything. Okay.
So, you're not getting a salary.
Salary for this girl. Also, I just want to say this too. There was no money to start the research for law enforcement officers in this country, and my family donated the money. So my family, my mother gave money from her funeral fund. My aunt gave money. My children gave money. I had a few friends that gave money just to get the research started. And now we're also looking for people, donors across the country, who would actually like to invest in this type of research. At CBIRT.org, you can donate. That's CBIRT.org. There's a donation button, and the money goes directly to the LEO research, law enforcement officer research. We'll directly fund that. That was set up that way. You can mark it if you donate. There's a donation line that you can write in there for law enforcement officer research, because I truly believe that we need to, in the meantime, let's provide events for people to come in, because I can tell you that my events will be family events. You will be welcomed. You will have a good time, because one thing we're going to do is have a good time. We're going to celebrate and have a good time. And
I hate having a good time. Is there going to be a bouncy house too?
I better not. I want a bouncy. Last time I tried to get in one of those. In my old age, I don't know. Bouncy houses. What are you talking about?
You're probably younger than me. I don't even want to hear about it.
Anyway. There's 2 good places that if you would like to get involved, that I know that 100% of the money will go to our injured. Either 100% will go to the LEA research, or 100% will get down to the families and the injured party. Then there's 2 nonprofits that I know of that will do that.
Awesome. Well, last question I have for you. You've given some websites and so forth, and those are awesome. For those that are listening out there that maybe don't know where to start or where to donate or who to go to maybe offer something, or possibly wants to contribute to research or have you speak at an event to talk more about this and so forth, how best can they reach a Dr. Raina out there?
Okay, so I'm on LinkedIn as Dr. Patricia K. Raina. I also have a website that's kraina.com. I'm also a motivational speaker. I'm an author and I'm an artist. I've written several books. And so if you want to, again, I've done all this on my own. I fund myself. You know, what do you do? This is what you do. Families out there right now, be a part of your own rescue. If nobody else will help you, do what you can. And so I've tried every which way to figure this out, to push the agenda forward. I am willing to dedicate my life to our injured in this country because I know they deserve it. And I'm willing to dedicate that to our caregivers. And I'm speaking to the kids out there that even if your mom and dad are not the same, they still love you. And don't give up. Don't give up hope. Keep your head up. Keep your head up. We cannot continue to lose our kids, and we don't need to be losing any of our first responders who have loved us enough here to serve in this country and during, you know, a very difficult and especially cultural time now. And just the culture of law enforcement right now is even more dangerous for our law enforcement officers. So that's what I would say is reach out to me. You can contact me through several ways. OperationHomelandHonor.org. You can find me on LinkedIn. And also kreina.com, you can send me a comment through there and to reach me that way.
Perfect. Doc, I can't even begin to, one, you know, appreciate what you're doing, the fact that you spent a significant time with us today. And I really honor your passion for, you know, the help that you're offering out there. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me, and I would appreciate your prayers. You know, this is it's a big, we've got a Goliath here, you know, yeah. That's a big thing, but we together, I know we can do it. Thank you so much.
Agreed. It's my pleasure to have you. And thank you to all of you who have either watched or listened to this episode of Public Safety Talk Radio. And we'll be back with you next week with another great guest.
Public Safety Talk Radio is produced by the POCUA. POCUA is a consortium of financial institutions serving law enforcement as well as other first responders and public safety professionals. To learn more about our association and to find one of our credit unions or service providers near you, go to www.policecreditunions.com. And always remember, if you aren't working with one of our POCUA credit unions, you're just banking with an institution that just so happens to serve first responders. As a public safety professional, you and your family deserve better. Find a POCUA credit union today.